Our scripture reading is Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water.
Well, happy Sabbath, church. It is good to be in God's house again today. What do you say? Amen. We are alive and we are well. And the scripture reading was nicely read for us, Sister Naomi. That was beautifully done. And then we heard another song that reminds us that it's almost time for the Lord to come. And that's what Brother Alvin was saying. We really want Jesus to come soon. Amen. Yes, yes. Let me see your hand if you want Jesus to come soon. Amen. Amen, amen. I tell you, I'm about ready to get out of this world, you know. I want to go home to live with God. And friends, there we'll put on years, but we will never grow old. Isn't that something? We don't even fathom that. Jim, I am only 42 still. But I can tell the difference when I run on the soccer field. It's not like when I was 16, you know. But there, it doesn't matter what the numbers are. We're still going to have eternal youth. Amen? So even when Jim gets to 1,005, yeah, he's still like he was 16, you know. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. And so today, I just want to bring a reminder to God's children that this is it. That's my sermon title today. Amen. This is it. What is it going to be for you 1 minute before Jesus Christ breaks the eastern sky? Have you tried to put yourself in that situation, Heather? Like right there, you know, Christ is about to come and this is the last minute before you see the face of Jesus Christ. Place yourself right there today. And place yourself there where you are filled with grace. You are filled with the fullness of God. You are fully loaded with the Holy Spirit. Man, I tell you, Sharon, that's going to be wonderful. When you realize that all that you have studied in the Bible, you've prayed about this, you've labored for your own family and labored for those in your community, and you finally get to the moment when you begin to hear the trumpet sound. And you know that this is not trumpet for anything else, but the trumpet sound that announces that Jesus Christ is breaking the eastern skies. You might have read it, but I have read it, that just at the moment when Jesus is going to come, like shortly before that, there's going to be an announcement from heaven declaring the day and the hour of his coming. Let me see if there's a witness that somebody else who've read that. All right, I see some witnesses. So you know I'm not making the story up. The Bible says that the mouth of two or three people, the thing is established. And so others have read it too. I look forward to when Jesus comes and this whole life will be over. There'll be no more sin and suffering. There'll be no more absences. There'll be no more fear of a virus, because it's true. The fear is real. And many people are absent because of the fear. You know, so we want to continue to lift up one another in prayer. Other people are absent because their health is failing. And so we want to continue to lift them up. I think of Elias's father-in-law, Brother Silvestre. He's not here because he's not well. I know his wife tried to give him all the support he can. Brother Bob, you know, he tries to be here when he can, but he says, Pastor, you know, we talk, we converse. He says, Pastor, I'm just not feeling well. My spirit is strong, but my flesh is weak, you know. My body is not wanting to do what I would like it to do. And so there are these kind of challenges that face the people of God. You know, but we want to continue to lift up one another. And like Joan mentioned, you know, Larry and Cindy, we want to continue to lift them up in prayer and reach out to them, you know, and just encourage them along the way. It's no one that you know has faced something like this coronavirus time. I mean, it's unprecedented. And it's taking a different toll on different individuals. What we can do as a household of faith is continue to encourage one another. And like was brought out in the lesson, to do serious intercessory prayer for one another. Where we call each other by name. Joan mentioned that she has a little health challenge. And she's asking the church to pray. Let her not just voice it and then we do nothing about it. When we pray, let's remember Joan in prayer. Amen. Let's lift up one another because God still hears and answers our prayers. Amen. Let us pray one more time. Father and our God, we thank you for this privilege that we can pray to you. We can pray for one another. We can call each other's name and needs before you. And you will hear from heaven and you will answer. You say that if your people who are called by your name will humble ourselves and pray, you will hear from heaven and you will pity our land and you will heal us, Lord. This morning, this day, this Sabbath, we're asking for such blessing upon us. Remember every single member who is local but absent at this time, we pray for them. Remember every single guest of this church who is absent, Lord, but are still local and could make it. We pray for our Elmira community and beyond, where all your children are, where just bless your people, Lord, and draw each closer to you. Help us to know this is not the time to drift from Christ, but this is the time to draw closer to you. Bless us, Lord, in your word now, and may each of our hearts be encouraged. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Would you agree with me that God alone deserves our worship? Amen. Would you also agree that there is someone else who desires our worship? Yes, it is so. God alone is the reason why we are gathered here today to worship. But I'd like to let you know that there is someone else who is in opposition to our gathering for worship today. And you know exactly who I am talking about. But what really matters today is a job well done by Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus has done a job for us. And the greatest thing that Jesus has done for us, he has paid the ransom price to release us from the slavery of sin and the tyranny of the devil. And somebody should say amen. Jesus has paid the price. But of all the things I want to say to you today, this is it. Jesus is the winner man. And when you are on Christ's team, you're on the winning team. Amen. You're on the winning team. Yes, my friend, this is it. Jesus Christ has purchased our redemption. But you know, there's a great danger for people inside and outside of the church. And this danger is that we may lack experimental knowledge that redemption price has already been paid. Did you know that each of you here, Christ has purchased a ticket for you for heaven? Yes? How many of you know that? That Christ has purchased your ticket for heaven. All right, I'm going to tell you in the words of Ellen White then, and you can look it up after you leave here today. Ellen White says, our ticket for heaven is what? Who can say it? I know somebody else is usually a witness who've read it. What does Ellen White say is our ticket for heaven? It is associated. That's not exactly what she said, but that's what she means. She says, our ticket for heaven is justification. And that's where Jesus shed his blood in our place and has justified us. She also moves on and she says about our fitness for heaven. Who wants to say what that is now? Our ticket for heaven is Christ's purchase of our justification. Our fitness for heaven. Yeah, I heard it. Sanctification. The ticket is justification. Christ did it at the cross. And our fitness for heaven is our sanctification, which she also says is the work of a lifetime. Meaning, as long as we live, that process continues. John 17:17, you know it. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it's an ongoing process. So justification, ticket for heaven. Sanctification, fitness for heaven. And here's one that he didn't say, I'll tell you. Glorification will put us into heaven. That takes place when Jesus comes. That takes place when Jesus comes. Yeah, so we want to have an experimental knowledge of our purchased freedom, or purchased redemption. And my first text I want to bring to your mind this morning is Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And you know what it says in Hosea 4 and verse 6. The word of God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. In this verse, the sin was the active rejection of God's knowledge. God said his church, his covenant people, you know, has forgotten the law of God. And a question I want to raise today. Are Seventh-day Adventists failing to seek God's grace and to keep God's law? I have a feeling that the importance of God's law is diminishing among God's children. I dare say the importance of the Sabbath. There was a time when Seventh-day Adventists really kept the Sabbath holy. But today, there's a diminishing in that. Seventh-day Adventists today, and praise God, it's not necessarily at Elmira. But Seventh-day Adventists today are more and more doing things on the Sabbath that have nothing to do with Sabbath keeping. There are Seventh-day Adventists today who go shopping on the Sabbath. There are Seventh-day Adventists today who go to restaurants to eat on the Sabbath. There are Seventh-day Adventists who do secular jobs on the Sabbath that is not essential service. It's not caring for the sick. You know, you cannot stop caring for the sick because it's Sabbath. You need to care for the sick on the Sabbath, so that's essential service. And then there are emergencies like people who do snow plowing. If the roads are not plowed on Sabbath, we can't get here. Yes? I think it's a good time that God's children begin to revisit the tenets of our faith, to study for ourselves and see what God says. You know, as I prayed this morning for each of you, for the church, and for the churches in my district, and for the conference-wide family of Seventh-day Adventists, as I pray, I began to think that God has been so good to us that he sent us light and guidance. First and foremost, like the vow we take when we get baptized. And on August 22nd, we'll be having a baptism right here. When we're getting baptized, we take a vow that the Bible, we accept the Bible as our only rule of faith and practice, right? The Bible. God has sent us tremendous light in the Bible. And God has sent us additional light to explain the Bible. I am speaking of the inspired writings of Ellen White. I think as God's children, we need to spend some more time, more often studying those volumes too. Did I get an amen for that one too? Amen. Friends, as we come through the very end of time, we'll find that these inspired writings, they'll help us to navigate the issues of life. If we want stronger marriages, we can go read the little book called Adventist Home. It will make our marriages and our parenting and our sibling relationships stronger. I like to tease Jim that there shouldn't be an Adventist home without an Adventist home. That book gives real good principles that we can study, and it really encourages. It talks about prayer, talk about the duties, the discipline of the family, and we should read it. Amen? If you want to have a stronger prayer life, I recommend the little book, Steps to Christ. I mean, it's such a blessed book. It really encourages serious praying. And if you want to know about how to manage your money well and this stuff, get counsels and stewardship. I'm just saying there are so many materials out there for us to study that will help us in our day-to-day walk to encourage us on the way to glory, to encourage us as we prepare for Christ's second coming. And I'm really recommending that as God's children, we study these books. We want to grow in our walk with Christ. We want to grow in our church numbers. We want more people to come to Christ. Then I recommend that we study such books as Ministry of Healing, Gospel Workers, Evangelism. And as we study these books, we will realize that God has sent information on methods that we can use for evangelism that will actually reach many people for him. Because all of us can do something for Christ. Amen? Doesn't matter if we're 6 or 96 or anywhere in between. We can each do something for Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, my friends. And so God wants us to do more for him, to be more for him. And as we see the day of Jesus coming, approaching, we need to get more busy for Jesus. Amen? We need to get more serious in evangelism for him. And so in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it is not that knowledge is not available, but it's because God's people reject God's knowledge. In this verse, the sin was active rejection of God's knowledge. God said his church, his covenant people, have forgotten the law of God. And so God is calling his Seventh-day Adventist church today to rise up, and to raise up the standard of his covenant law, the Ten Commandments. Another question I could ask, how can any Christian in good faith say that God's Ten Commandments are done away with? That's something to think about. You know, if there is any corporate guilt in the Christian world, in the Christian community, this is it. They have made void the law of the eternal God. The prophet Isaiah, he came crying. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 5. He says something here in Isaiah 24 verse 5. It said, the earth also is defiled under its inhabitants. Why? Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. My friends, think about the marriage covenant, for example. One by one, we see nations around the world, including the United States, that has transgressed God's law and broken God's marriage covenant. They are marrying people today who have no business getting married. And courts are divorcing people today who have no business getting divorced. And so it says that they have changed the ordinance and broken the everlasting covenant. Friends, I want to say to you today, K-N-O-W, God. K-N-O-W, peace. N-O-W. God, N-O, peace. Did you catch it? To know God is to know peace. Where we remove God and say no to God, then we are saying no to peace. Yes? Furthermore, K-N-O-W, God's law. K-N-O-W, peace. N-O to God's law is an O to peace. Amen? Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 65, you know it. King James Version, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. New King James Version, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. There is a peace that comes with being in a covenant saving relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a peace that comes with obedience to God's Ten Commandment law. There's a peace that comes with obeying God's health laws. And I tell you, in times like these, when we have COVID ravaging the nation, close to 150,000 deaths, we need the health law more than ever. Amen? We need the health laws. You know, my friends, when you look at Luke chapter 19, verses 41 and 42, Luke reports about Jesus. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. When last have you wept over the city in which you live? The village in which you live? The town in which you live? When last have you wept? You have been so moved by the power of God. You have been so conscious about salvation and the fact that some people around you don't have it. When last did you weep for the people near you? The people on your street? The people in your neighborhood? It says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Verse 42, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, only if you knew. But now they are hidden from your eyes. God has great promise for his people. But if we are not prepared, we are not going to have them. I tell you a story in American history that will make the point further. How many of you here has ever heard about Juneteenth? Let me see, if you raise the hands. I want to see. All right, we have some witnesses here that have heard about Juneteenth. Well, on the eve of January the 1st, 1863, there was a certain watch night service that took place. It was on that night that both enslaved and freed African Americans gathered in churches and private homes all across the United States as they awaited news of the Emancipation Proclamation, whether it had taken effect. And then came the moment. At the stroke of midnight, their prayers were answered. By decree, all enslaved people in the Confederate States were declared legally free. It was Union soldiers, many of whom were themselves black, marched onto plantations and across cities of the American South, both reading small copies of the Emancipation Proclamation and spreading the news of the federal freedom in the Confederate States. It was only through enactment of the 13th Amendment that the Emancipation Proclamation managed to end slavery throughout the United States. But would you know that not everyone in Confederate territories were immediately set free? Even though Emancipation Proclamation was declared on January 1st, 1863, and made effective later in 1863, it could not be implemented in parts of the nation still under federal, under Confederate control rather. For example, the westernmost Confederate state of Texas would not free enslaved people until much later. In fact, freedom finally came for enslaved Texans on June 19, 1865, that's more than 2.5 years later, when some 2,000 Union troops marched on Galveston Bay, Texas. The Union contingency announced there that the more than 250,000 enslaved black people in the state of Texas were free by executive decree. So it was that June 19 became known as Juneteenth by the newly freed people in Texas. God did it by the leadership of Abraham Lincoln. Well, on a broader scale, There are many spiritually enslaved people right here in your locality and mine. And beyond, they have not yet heard the good news. A man of Abraham's lineage, even the man Christ Jesus, has liberated them. But many people have still not heard the good news that they are free. Free from the slavery of sin. Free from the tyranny of Satan. Many people have not yet heard the good news. And some of those people live on the street you live on. How about you becoming a union soldier for Christ? A soldier of the gospel to go bring them that good news. What do you say? Yes, my friends, there are many people who are still waiting to hear the news. There are many people who still are in Juneteenth. You and I need to bring the good news of salvation to them. And so here is how widely and urgently and seriously Christ has commissioned our final proclamation of this wonderful news. Let's go back to what was read for us in Revelation chapter 14, and we'll see what Jesus says there. Through his servant John, this is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Then I saw another angel. And the word angel there comes from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. John says, then I saw another messenger. How fast was he moving? How fast was she moving? Flying. What prominence? In the midst of heaven. Then I saw another messenger moving very fast in the midst of heaven, in the open firmament, for all to hear, for all to see. And what did this messenger have? This messenger has the everlasting gospel. The gospel that results in eternal life when we accept. The gospel that results in eternal damnation for those who reject. He said, this messenger has the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell where? To those who dwell on the earth? Every person you know dwell on the earth. Even those who take trips to the International Space Station, they still live on earth. Amen? So even the astronauts live on earth. They may go out there and spend 6 months on that International Station, etc. But they still have to come back to earth when they're done. Amen? They live on earth. It says the gospel is to go to all those who dwell on the earth, to every nation. This is the word ethnos, which means every ethnic group of people. It's to go to every nation, to every tribe. That's to every people group. And, you know, they are Germanic tribe, and they are the tribes of Gaul, France, and they are the tribes of Europe proper, and they are the tribes of the United Kingdom. They are the tribes of Eastern Europe. There are the very many tribes across Africa. There are many tribes right here in the United States. The native people, they are into different tribes. It says it's to go to every tribe, every tongue group, whatever language group people are of. This message is to go to them. And to every people group, this message is to go to all. What does the message say in verse 7? What is the message to every person on earth? It's the message saying with a loud voice. That's a voice filled with the Holy Spirit. We need a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do justice in giving this message. We cannot do justice in living this message. We need a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somebody should say amen. It said this message is to go out saying with a loud voice. What is the message saying? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. It is a message of judgment. It's a message calling God's people back to true worship. If you keep your finger there in Revelation 14 verse 7. I'm going to give you a cross reference that all scholars, including non-Adventist scholars, are agreed that Revelation chapter 14 verse 7 is a direct quote from one of God's Ten Commandments. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. And I cross-reference it for you. Sometimes it's good when you turn your Bibles there. It helps with memory, you know. Revelation chapter 20. And let's jump down to verse 11. A part of the Sabbath commandment. The closing verse of the Sabbath commandment in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11. It says in Revelation 20 verse 11. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, plural, and the earth. Because, you know, heavens is plural because there are three heavens, right? Any of you studied that before? Revelation 1, verse 15. That's one heaven. Genesis 1, verse 15. Come on, let's go back. Genesis 1, verse 15 mentions one heaven. Genesis 1, verse 20 mentions a second heaven. There's one where the birds fly, and there's one where the sun, moon, and stars are, the open firmament of the heavens. And then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we see where Paul literally uses the term, the third heaven. So you see, I'm not making it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read verse 3 also, but it's really in verse 4. Paul says, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Verse 4. How he was caught up into paradise. Right? What does your King James Version say? Look at verse 2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. See, I didn't make it up. Yeah, I'm giving you a Bible for it. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. So you know the preacher is not a heretic after all. So we see in Revelation 14 where it mentioned the heavens. And we're looking at Exodus 20 verse 11. And this is where Revelation 14 verse 7 is quoted from. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea. In Revelation 14, 7, it says the springs of water, the fountains of water, King James Version. In Exodus 20, 11, it says the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In other words, Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, that announced a judgment, our message is calling God's children back to true worship. And true worship includes the observance of the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath of the Lord and the memorial of creation. There can be no true worship that excludes keeping God's seventh day Sabbath holy. I don't matter how holy you think you are and who you think you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't keep the Sabbath holy, you're lacking in true worship. Amen. And the judgment, our message, calls humankind back to true worship. As a matter of fact, the whole mark of the beast has to do with opposition to true worship. It will come up with human worship, a human system of worship. They'll also come up with their own day of worship instead of God's seventh day of worship. By the way, I worship God every day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But worshiping God every day of the week does not replace keeping the seventh day Sabbath holy. Amen. Want to make it plain? Samuel, God did say through his prophet Samuel that it's better to obey than to sacrifice, right? And Sabbath observance is a call to obedience. And so Revelation 14 verse 7 says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, For the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the fountains of water. Now, I want to show you something in Genesis. You remember when Noah's flood was about to come? God's flood in Noah's time. And Noah was the preacher. Remember what was going to come and it was going to rain? And so we get to Genesis chapter 7. And God told Noah, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of the ever clean animals, seven pairs, a male and his female. Two each, two pairs of each animal that are unclean, male and his female. Also seven of each birds, and it goes on down. And verse 4 says, for after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. Noah did, according as the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. And so Noah and his sons and his wife and his son's wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And he did just like God said to him. Verse 11 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the deep were broken up. I wanted to bring that to your attention. When Revelation chapter 14 verse 7 mentions the fountains of waters, it's also in a secondary sense bringing to you that it was indeed a judgment, our message. The last time we see the fountains of the deep mentioned in such significance was in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11. When the fountains of the deep were broken up, it was a judgment hour time. Waters from above united with waters from beneath. And that was the means by which God punished the wicked. Did you know that in the fiery judgment coming, the great battle of Gog and Magog in Revelation chapter 20, did you know that fires will be raining down from heaven? And we could see the fountains of the deep this time, the lava fountains of the deep, the volcanic fountains of the deep will be broken up, and fire from above will be united with fire from beneath. And this entire world will be one boiling, seething lake of fire. It will melt everything in its path. And the only people safe are those saved in Christ and are locked in the city of God. Friends, this is a serious message. And after we have left church today, we should go home and ponder it again. Give it some thoughts. God does not want any of us here or anyone we know to be lost. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants, for everyone to come to repentance. I was very moved the last time I was here. You know, as we talked about baptism and we headed out the door, you know, I got to meet Heather in person. Faith and their daughter, they're planning to get baptized together. And I just want to let you know, Dennis, he's getting baptized too. Amen. And Paul, we've worked with you before. Well, we're going to work some more. And on August 22nd, we're going to have a baptismal service right here. Right here. And you know, someone mentioned it in Sabbath school. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. And baptism always follow repentance. That's the formula in the Bible, right? You can see Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus, right? You know, and that's why we don't do infant baptism in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because it's not biblical. An infant who cannot repent cannot be baptized, because baptism must always be preceded by repentance. We repent of our sins, and then we get baptized and join God's church formally. Amen? As we close our service today, I'm going to make a simple appeal. The first one is directly for those who want to join us in baptism on August the 22nd. You know, mother and daughter can be on one side, same family. And then the two gentlemen, you can space out on the front seat here. I want to have a special prayer for you today. So if you want to come forward at this time, those are going to get baptized. You know, there are others here, you may not need to get baptized. Well, by water, but you need, like myself, to get a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you want to raise your hand where you are as well, because, you know, we're not going to build any crowd, I want to invite you to raise your hand in recognition, and I want to have a special prayer for the baptism. You can just, you know, go in the front row there. Yes, yes. And Brother Paul, I don't know if you want to join us for August 22nd baptism, you know, but if you want to, you can come join us. Brother Gary. Yeah. I know. Man, I have a friend by the name of Paul back in California. I'm going to say it. And he looks so much like Paul. I keep calling him Paul. But he's Gary. I guess you're going to be like the Apostle Paul and preach for Jesus. Amen. Amen, Brother Gary. And so we have four individuals here who they're deciding that they want to get baptized and continue their walk with Jesus Christ. So they want to do this in a formal way. All right, so you're joining us up here as well. And it's funny, you know, when I think of Brother Bill McDonald, you know, he had told me in the time past that he would like to get rebaptized. And I was saying, when I sat with him, I said, Brother Bill, I don't think you need to get rebaptized. You know, I think we just need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the ongoing baptism. That's what we need, because when you baptize, for example, Sister Faith, she's lived for Jesus for many years, you know. And Dennis has given evidence of his love for Christ. I'm just speaking of individuals. For Faith, for example, she was baptized before. But she says, you know what, I've been learning all this new truth. I was buried with Christ in baptism many years ago. And I want to do it alongside my daughter, Heather, you know. And so they're getting baptized together. Others are coming and they say, look, we've kind of studied truth for some time. And we want to get baptized the biblical way by immersion. So I'm so excited for the four of you. And August 22nd is coming up. Before you know, it's here. And we're going to have a baptism right here. And I've seen many hands that went up in the audience, including my own hands. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to pray at this time and just ask Jesus to touch us in a special way. Father, I'm so thankful that nothing can stop the onward march of truth. Your gospel must go forward, regardless of coronavirus or any other virus. You already told your early church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against your church. And we praise you today that this word rings true still 2,000 years later. Father, I'm so excited that there are four individuals, two men, two women, who are saying, Lord Jesus, we belong to you. And we belong to your remnant church that is teaching the full truth and nothing but the truth. And so, Lord, on August 22nd, a month from today practically, they're going to get baptized right here in this Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church. Father, there are all of us pretty much in the audience raised our hands because we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh touch from heaven. And right now, Lord, I pray for the baptismal candidates as well as for each of us, Lord, baptize all of us with your Holy Spirit today. Give us heaven's power that as we go from this place, we will be filled with the Holy Spirit himself. We'll be guided by the Holy Spirit himself. And Lord, we will go live the life that counts and we'll teach others the same. Lord, make us different. Make us leave this place transformed. May we leave this place filled with all the fullness of God. Cleanse our sins, Lord, and take them away. Wash us and make us clear. Make us pure, make us true, make us loyal. And Lord, give us the true gift of repentance. And may we go all the way with Christ. May we surrender all. Lord, bless us. Thank you for hearing from heaven. And thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' holy name we pray, let the church say. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Lord bless you richly.